give me one shot here on a blue chip stock, believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more.
Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA draft fans? Your boy's back, Corey Tulliba, the Wolf of Ball Street, the NBA draft dude, and I am here today with a very special guest. We have City Sissoko of the G League Ignite with us today. City is going to be 19 years old on draft night. He is listed at 6 foot eight, 200 pounds, averaging 11 points, 3 assists, and 2.5 rebounds a game in the G League this year. City, how are you doing, man? Thank you for being here.
Thank you, man. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I am well. I'm excited to chop it up with you and break down some film. Are you excited? We got All-Star break coming up and you know, you're going to be taking part in the next up game with the G League. So tell me about that and you know, what you got going on there.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like a dream. Like every young guys, like every kids want to be in the All-Star weekend for sure. And I'm just excited to be there in Utah and play the Rising Star and play the G League All-Star. So yeah, I'm going to have a great week. So yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for a lot of people, when they look at, you know, the G League Ignite path, it's an alternative pathway, which is, you know, now in year three. What was it that drew you to the G League Ignite program?
I mean, they got really like how they work out. I saw like everything, how they work out, how they make the player getting better. For example, like Jalen Green and everyone, like Dyson Daniel, like they make to the next level, and I just want to be like them and be in the league right now. So yeah, I'm just trying to be focused on what the coach said, because he got dropped like people from last year, like Dyson Daniel, Bochamp, RD. So I'm just doing like what he's saying. I hope I'm getting dropped for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it's really cool. I think, you know, somebody with your height and you know, some of the ball skills and stuff, I think that you could see a lot of a guy like Dyson Daniels in you, and you know, especially what you do on the defensive end, which we'll get into in a little bit. But you know, you were born in France. So tell me, you know, what the basketball scene was like growing up in France, because I think in the States, you know, we might not think of it as this big thing, but you know, you have Nick Batum and Tony Parker, and now you have you and Victor Wembanyama, and there, you know, it's really a thriving scene there. So what was that like growing up?
I mean, I would say like some French people, like we was like not scared, but like when we was watching the highlight from the American guy, we was like, damn, they're crazy, like, because they show all every time the good part of the highlights, and it was like, we know, like in Europe, like no, it's not athletic like in the US. So, yeah, but we got a great mindset, like great IQ for play basketball in overseas, and yeah, so yeah, we just like run a lot of system in overseas, and in American player, like American play, just 1-on-1, who's better, and yeah, it's kind of funny. So yeah.
Did you have a favorite NBA team growing up?
I had Miami when LeBron was in Miami.
Yeah.
And when LeBron joined Cleveland, I like Cleveland too. So I'm not a fan of LeBron James, but like he was winning every time. So
was it just easier to watch like LeBron games over there, because you know when you're winning, or no, it was hard?
Because right now, like in Paris, like I'm in Vegas, but like, right now it's like maybe 11 p.m. And it's like you can watch basketball, like, because all we watch the game at 4 or 3 more at the morning. So now you can't even watch. We was like watching the replay every time. So
yeah, you had to really go out of your way to do it. Talk to me about, you know, some of the differences actually playing in the G League, you know, against pros. You know, you had a good showing, you know, in some FIBA tournaments, but what was it like, you know, kind of jumping up in level of competition and dealing with, you know, one of the best leagues in the world?
I feel like we got we have to show more respect to the G League player, because like almost like all almost all the G League player can be in the league right now. Like I saw, I just saw like 3 days ago, Paris Bass make 50 points in the G, and you have to do it for like 50 points in the G League. So yeah, and yeah, like people like don't like, they think the G League, yeah, nobody defense, like they got like lot of space, but yeah, it's like one of the hardest competition in the world for sure. And yeah, just like, and you have to respect everyone in the league, so everyone can shoot, everyone can dribble, and yeah.
Well, right before we get into your film, I want to ask if for somebody who's watching this for the first time and has never watched an Ignite game, how would you describe your game?
My game, I would say some Spanish basketball, some pass, some IQ for sure, and that's some like you're gonna watch someone that you need, like he will never give up, like basketball game. You're gonna pay his life for sure, like was like his last game. So yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me watching you, one of the things that stands out the most, I mean, we mentioned it, you're 6'8", you know, you're 200 plus pounds. Do you know your wingspan?
No.
No, but you look like you got good length on that you use on both sides of the ball. And I think one of the things that stands out is your athleticism. And I think that this clip here does a good job of kind of showing the type of athlete that you are. So, you know, you guys get the board. We get it to Scoot. He's pushing the pace. At what point do you know I'm taking this to the rack and I'm putting it down on someone's head?
Yeah. I mean, I just like... I like the first time I see this, like the space on the court, I didn't want to dunk. Like, I was like, maybe like, I don't know, because the guy, like, which one was the?
Let's replay.
Because this guy from the Manhattan's, like, he got like, he blocked, I don't know if it was this one, but he like great defense, like on there. And I was like, damn, I have to go or yes or no. And I said, yeah, I was just like, do it. If I get to block, like I try at least, but no, that worked.
Yeah, because even if he goes up and contests it and you don't get that dunk, yeah, like you attacking that hard with that much space with your athleticism and your big frame, like worst case, you're probably at least drawing a foul there, right? Like even if you draw contact and you get to go to the line, I think that, you know, that is a good way to generate points. And your willingness to go out and make plays in transition is something that is really appealing to, is going to be appealing to teams, especially because you don't need somebody to create for you in these situations. Like you're so good at getting a rebound and taking it up yourself. Talk to me about this play. Like at what point are you realizing, like, I think that I could take this all the way. No one's stopping me.
This play, I know, like, Conley Stein, like, I saw, like, Conley Stein in the eyes, and he was, like, hesitating if he have to go or stop me at the triple line. And when I saw him, like, he took a step back, like, I just, like, go, because I know, like, for me, like, it's hard to stop me. Like, when I took, like, the first step, I know, like, not a lot of people can stop me on this first step. So I just tried to do and get through the both player and just dunk after this, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's some really nifty, like, footwork and splitting the defense and just going through and getting after it with two hands. I think that, you know, being able to get out and play in transition and thrive with pace, you know, that's something that I think that everybody in the NBA is really looking for. And then one more clip here that I want to show that I feel like is a good indication of the type of athlete that you are. You know, here you're coming off the screen, you go through and oh yeah, now we got a poster putting it on someone's head. So take me through this clip here.
It's like almost the same play, but on the right side. I know, like, I know he was going under and he was going to the other side, and he didn't get time to stop me. So, and I know the big man from Santa Cruz is like, he's my eight. So I just like keep like distance on me and him. And I know if I was going up, he was like behind me, and I just have to dunk in or lay the ball. So I was like pretty far from him, so I didn't hesitate too much on this one.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, like, again, you being able to get downhill with NBA spacing is just really impressive. Is there more or less space, you know, playing in the G League compared to playing overseas and how you grew up?
For sure, because, like, some big men overseas, like, they don't shoot. They just, like, some sit screen. And the other guys are, like, being the drop, like, just stay in the paint. So, and the court is smaller. So, all you have to jump over him or dunk on him to get a dunk. Like, all you have to do a flutter. And so, here is good because you got a lot of space for – it's good, really good for me because you got a lot of space in the court. And the court is much bigger than overseas. So, yeah.
Is like, adjusting to the new dimensions, is that – something that took a while to adjust to, or were you able to kind of, you know, slide in and get used to it real quick?
Yeah, I came here to, like, to adjust my game, like, to get, like, really, like, to play like an NBA player. And because for some people, like, from overseas to pass in NBA, that's hard because, like, the court is bigger and, like, the space, the rules too, like the 3 seconds in the paint and on offense and defense, not the same like in overseas. So yeah, I'm just like here to practice in and how I can be, how much better I can be for next year. And yeah
for sure. And I, you know, the next aspect of the game that, you know, I kind of want to talk about with you is your passing ability. And you know, at your size, were you always playing with the ball in your hand growing up?
I mean, where I was in Spain, I was playing the point. I was playing point guard like all the time because, like, I just grew up like 2 years ago, like 1 year ago. I was like maybe 6'2" when I was in Spain. So I was like playing every time point guard. And yeah. And I know, like, I got the talent for the pass. Like, some people can see everything on the court. I can see everything on the court. So I just, like, I need to keep improve this, like, because I'm not playing the point guard now. Have the ball and then make some pass. So, yeah,
I think this is a great pass. It seems simple, right? It's just like, you know, a little basic pick and roll, but
yeah.
I mean, you're recognizing that they're switching here, right? And you got to get the ball down to your big who gets position. And, you know, he doesn't finish this play, but, you know, that's the type of play that coaches want to see you make, right? Like, they don't necessarily always want to see you dance with the ball because maybe you got a big when you got, you know, such a mismatch down low. So I think that speaks to your IQ. You know, do you watch a lot of film? Is it natural? Like, because I feel like you're a high feel player.
I would say it's natural because, like, where I was in Spain, like, it was like really like with a lot of IQ basket and recognize the mismatch every time you play a pick and roll. And on this one, like on this video, like Mika, I know, like, for this one he means, but I know, like, it's hard to stop Mika in the paint. So I would just, like, I pass to him, and I know, like, he's gonna miss one, maybe a game. And the second time, I'm not gonna make it. I got all the confidence on him. And yeah, like, just every time, because some players, like, when they play the pick and rolls, they don't want to switch. They just watch the big man and their play. So they think already about the crossover, but they have to watch everything on the court. So yeah.
Yeah, and this one I love because it looks like you're really fooling the big man with your eyes as you get downhill here. So as we replay it, you're coming off, and you, like, do a little mid-air jump, and he's got to kind of decide between two guys. You have your wing cutting on the right side and then the roller going to the hoop. Talk to me about this play and, you know, making these, like, quick improvisational reads.
This one, the pass at the beginning was going to Baba. Like Baba Kasane, because he did a great cut. And after I saw, like, the big man from Birmingham just go on Baba. And here I just saw Mika here. And I know, like, I didn't watch Mika on this one, but I know, like, Mika roll every time. So I just know he going to be there. So, yeah. But I think if Baba didn't cut, this play would never happen. It would be a trouble or something else. So... Sure.
Yeah, and, you know, you kind of leave your feet, right? So you get stuck. So if he doesn't cut, maybe you know, that puts you in a tricky spot. But, you know, I think I want to talk about this play because, you know, you pull up here, and I think that's an aspect of your game that, you know, NBA teams are going to want to see. But if you had this one back, what would you do on this play?
I would say I can get down here, but I would probably take the shot again. But I can do a floater too, but I need to improve on this mid-distance shot for sure. Like, I think every point guard, if you get the ball to London or Scoot, you're going to shoot for sure or going to do a floater. Mm. But I need to be more aggressive on this one for sure.
Yeah, I think there maybe if you take like one more dribble in, so if you just get a little bit closer to the nail and you got Trevion there, it makes him come up and meet you a little bit more, and then maybe you'd have a drop off, or you get downhill, you put him in that cat and mouse position where now he's got to guard you, you know, and the roller. And I think that this is kind of a good example of you doing that here, where you do take that extra step, the big's got to come up, and it leads to that little drop off, right? So, you know, I think that I love that you do have this in your game, and you got this pick and roll craft, and I love that little hesitation that you play with. Is that something that you work on with the G League team?
No, but I know here in the G League, like they switch, sometimes they switch like every time on me or they get under. Because, like, I know, like, I'm almost a big man on the team. Like, I'm almost one of the tallest guys in the team. And I know, like, when they got Leonard or FA on the pick and roll, sometimes they just switch at the end. And so the small guy or the big guy on me, he can come back for the dunk for FA. So I just, in this one is wide open because, like, I see FA right in the middle of the paint. So. And he did a great role. So yeah.
And I think this next one here is a good example of the same kind of thing. Playing with pace, you get downhill, and he commits to the role, and this time you're able to take it in and get to the hoop and finish with your left, which is something that I notice that you do a lot. Do you feel comfortable, you know, finishing with both hands like that?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't go lots of time with my left because, like, sometimes with my left, I just want to. I'm better for pass, but like, I can finish for sure. But like this one, I was like really upset because on this game, I just like really want to dunk on JF. I tried, like, everyone in the G wants to dunk on JF when like there's an action like that, but like just like,
well, you didn't get the dunk, like, but it's a great drive.
Yeah, like just like you want to do one-on-one in the air. So, like, you want to challenge JF if he can block you every time or not, like, for sure. I mean, I think all the young guys from the G League, right, in my team, like, was Coach I said, like, when you got, like, someone, like, just try to put his elbow in the mouth or something. Like, I just do what you say and just go hard in the rim and, yeah, try to challenge every time the big man. So
kind of use your offhand to kind of push him off and create separation so you have a cleaner look at the hoop.
Yeah, definitely. Because like I you know, forgive me, Flower, but like I know like it's hard to push me there when I got one step in the paint already. So I just have to like to get my body set and everything and just go to the rim. So yeah.
Yeah, right there you can see, right? You're using that hand to shield. That's great. Yeah. I you mentioned earlier that a lot of teams will have been going under on you. Is that kind of the next step to your pick and roll game that you need to improve on?
Yeah, for sure. I think like I think now I know the problem. What is like the first dribble like for shoots is too soft. So I know like in practice now when I do a tough dribble, like, I know like getting in now. So just like I think the problem of the first part of the season was my dribble was like really soft for shoot, and you can shoot when like something soft, so I was not making like the under, but I take it next time.
Yeah, but because you're capable of hitting those shots. And this is a tough one that you hit here, right? Like they're following you over here. A little step back.
Mm.
That was a tough shot.
Yeah, I really like to do the step back with my left hand. I think for me it's more easier. And I was doing this all the time in overseas, so now like I lost a little bit of the step back shot because like the trip online is farther than the overseas for sure. Now I'm getting back of this step back. So, yeah.
Is that an adjustment? It's a couple extra feet, right? Like, did it take you a couple of weeks to kind of get comfortable with the shot, or is that something that you in practice you kind of practice from distance anyway?
Yeah, like sometimes I feel it like you have to use more your legs and everything for shooter three now, but like yeah, the first part of the season was a little bit hard for me, but now I'm getting used to it. Mm. Just like you have to use all your body for shoot, so yeah. Because before I was like just like in overseas, I was not using all my body to shoot because like the trip online was closed. So yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the benefits of coming to the Ignite program, right? Like everything is geared towards helping you become the best NBA player that you could be, and you know, practicing and playing with that 3-point line is going to help you as you translate. Like there will be no adjustment next season when you're playing in the league, right? You'll have that down. And I think with your shooting, you know, when you get to the league next year, I mean, look, you're playing off a bunch of great playmakers in the G League, right? You know, you got Scoot, Leonard Miller's a good passer. But you might be playing with Luka or LeBron or somebody like that. So being able to play off the ball as well as on of it is going to be a big aspect of your game. I think the ability to spot up, catch and shoot, that's going to be big. Do you feel comfortable playing off the ball?
Yeah, definitely. Like to not like cuts, baseline cuts, some stuff like this here for sure. Because I know next year I'm not gonna touch like the ball I touch in the right now in the G. Like just have to be ready every time. Like because like for example, if I play with Luka Doncic, you don't know where he's gonna pass because like his pass is random. So yeah, I'll just be ready every time. Like John told me like when you got like spot up, like John Jenkins told me like when you're like your feet set, just shoot it. Like,
Yeah, and you mentioned your cutting, and you know Scoot draws so much attention when he has the ball in his hands, right? I love this play because you know you kind of see he's getting downhill, and you just go. You see a little opening.
Yeah, because like this play, like Birmingham, when we play against Scoot, like when we got Scoot on the team, like they play five against him, like they 10 eyes on Scoot on defense. And like, just like, you saw like IC was open, so and nobody can stop me like when I'm downhill. So because like
when you have that much space, they're not getting a good contest on you.
Yeah, and I would say too like because like in the triple line too like when like Scoot is like this like it's hard to stop Scoot too like when you got like the because like the there's one action here like. He was dreaming from the trip online. He just did the dunk of the year already. So,
oh yeah,
yeah. So,
he's a crazy athlete, huh?
Yeah. So yeah, he's like all Scoot go along to the basket, or he just passed to me. Just like between two, like what's like.
Yeah, I think that normally a guy who you know is as athletic as Scoot, you know. Typically, those young guys, it takes a little while before they kind of learn like the nuances of the game, right? And Scoot seems like he's such a high feel player. He already understands how to manipulate these guys without just using his athleticism. Like he could play slow too and still get to his spots. Here's another great cut that you make and then get to the hoop. Take me through this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
a little back door.
He was watching like with the two eyes, like Coach Hart told me, like when you got like that, like when you see like your eyes is in the back of the player, just cut because we're not seeing him. So and when he saw me,
he's focused, right? He lost sight of you. He's not playing with his back flat, right? He can't see his man in the ball. So he thinks he can, and then boop, right there. A nice little up and under fist. So you got the athleticism, and then you got the little finesse layup package too.
I don't know if it's Jabate on this one, No, it was not Jabate. It was the other four men, I think. No, but like, when there's someone like being the 4-5, and he's like my height, he's like, I don't have doubt. Like I have to finish the layup, so I don't hesitate too much.
All right, that was the offense. Now I want to run through your defense because I think, you know, one of the biggest aspects of your game is that you're such a versatile defender because, you know, you like you said, you were 6'2 a couple of years ago, so you were used to guarding point guard. So you have the feet of somebody who's a lot smaller, but now you also have the size where you can guard a bunch of different positions. How many positions do you think that you can guard at the next level?
I would say five if the five is a four man. Because I know like sometimes like the basketball changes, like, they put like the four as a five and they pair with four guards. So I'm thinking I can go five. And sometimes can switch with the five, like a really big man, like switch it like sometime for sure.
Yeah. Where you just wall up, use your length, get high and body up, right? I want you to take me through this play. This is a guy in is that Brandon Boston who real shifty, right? And you're just sticking to him like glue. Take me through that, what it's like guarding, you know, these high-level guys on an island like this.
I know, like, BJ Boston, like, really like to, like, do little size up and do a step back. Because he's, like, almost my age. And I was watching, like, when I was, like, overseas, I was watching his highlights. And before the game, I watched his highlights. And Coach Tiska told me, like, every time he's going like on ISO, he's for doing a step back. So I was every time ready to guard the step back. But I know, like, some plays, they whistle a lot of foul. But not a foul for sure. But I take it.
But you're anticipating this the whole time, right? Like you said, you watched him for that step back. So you're able to get a clean contest and force him into a really difficult shot. Even for a tough shot maker, that's really hard. You're in his space. You got active hands. You know, you're sticking with him. You're just shadowing him. So I think, you know, your defense, your potential on that end is through the roof. Is there anybody who you're looking forward to guarding at the next level?
I want here on the G or
NBA? In the NBA.
I would say Kyrie for sure. Kyrie for sure, because it was my idol when I grew up. So I just want to go and cry Kyrie, because NBA, like how you see it from outside is not the same perspective when you are in the play. So I just want to go at him like one time at least.
What do you like about his game?
He is like, he's finishing for sure, size up, like he can go to the left hand, right hand, do a reverse spin, shoot, fade away. He can do everything.
Everything.
Yeah, I like everything. Yeah.
High off the glass, spin. Yeah, both hands. Yeah. He's crazy. This is another really, you know, impressive defensive possession right here. You know, low clock, 10 seconds. He's sizing you up. Take me through this clip.
I know, like, I was under the triple line, but because I got long arms, I know, like, if I was, I don't need to be, like, on his body to contest him in the shot. So here, like, I tried to make him, like, switch, like, I tried him to send him to the middle because I know Marcus was here, like, here.
Okay.
But he switched side. He did a great crossover. after just he tried to bump me and I was there, so I didn't move too much. So I was like, so I know he was going for the step back at the end, so the fight away. So I just contest him and go back in offense after.
So you could give him, because you have such great length, you could give him a little bit of space. So if he drives, you're meeting him at the rim, and then because of your length, when he can't get by you, you could still contest even if, you know, he hits that little step back.
Yeah, for sure. Because like if you want to go to if he wants to like go to the layup, you have to really push me or really put like all his body to me, and or there's gonna be an offensive foul or something like that. So yeah.
This one now, it's a little off-ball defense. I think this is a really impressive play for a few reasons. I mean, one, you know, you get that monster block as the help, but when you're actually breaking down the defense, you're kind of understanding of positioning on the court as the help man, right? Like, you're the most important guy. You're the low man there. I think it's a really mature play, not chasing your man to that weak side corner. So take me through this play.
When you're the low, I think like in our team we got the rules, like when you got the low man, just go on the other side and your teammate gets your back. So I know Marquis like he was like almost ready for taking my player already. So I'm just like, just have to be confident on my teammate. What's he gonna do for me after just this? Because like I just do a extra, like I was just in the paint for Mojave because they didn't switch. So I was just here for helping.
Yeah, so you have to have trust in your teammates because you rotate over, and you know, if you know at the next level, you know that might not be a role, right? They might see you coming over, and that they might actually whip that to the weak side corner. So you got to have trust in your teammates that they'll X out, and then you can recover, get into the hoop. So I love that play, and again, like, I mean, you're 6'8" with a long wingspan. And you can actually get up and protect that rim. You know, you're averaging about a block a game this season. Were you always kind of a good shot blocker? Because, you know, you said you were 6'2" a couple of years ago. You know, a lot of guards don't have that natural instinct to be a rim protector.
I mean, in overseas last year, like, I was, like, every time blocking shot against some center. And because they don't expect a guard, like, try to block you. Like they think like already they make the basket and you just come out like out of nowhere and just block the ball. And yeah, I had like this in overseas, and I was using my athletic because in overseas there was not a lot of people like athletic like me, so I was just use this every time. So
all right, I'm gonna take you through two more clips, and then you know I'll get you out of here. This last one or this next one I love because of the hustle here. I mean, quick hands, and then you're diving on the floor, getting some, you know, scraping your knees up a little bit, giving your opportunity for your team to turn defense into offense. So have you always been a guy who's just willing to, you know, give up your body and get on the floor and make hustle plays?
Definitely. I would say every time, just for a win. Before I play a game, like my dad said, like when I was small, my dad said, like if you play this sport and you don't want to win, just like don't play basketball anymore, do something else. And I would just like play until I die for win a game if you want. Yeah.
So that came, you know, that kind of effort that you learned that early from your family.
Yeah, for sure. Like my dad was a professional player. He was just like me, and he was a dog like in the court. He was like jumping for every ball, and so yeah, I just tried to be like him. This.
Did your dad having been a professional, does that help you, like the advice that he's always kind of given you, like on what it actually takes to make it to the next level?
Yeah, for sure. He helped me every time. I call him every day. It's just like, is an extra help for me, like, because I know like it's good to have a father that already did this job. Like he was already a basketball player. Yeah. Just And I just have to listen to him, like, as a father and as a coach too. So that's nice. That's pretty nice. And I got one, my big brother too, a professional player. So I just listen to my family. So, yeah.
Yeah, so your family could hoop, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. All right, this is the last one that I want to take you through. This was the game against the Mets, and you just ripped that from Victor. You hop in there. What was it like playing in this game, this atmosphere? I mean, the amount of hype, and then to go out there and, you know, you guys have the showing that you did. Just take me through that whole atmosphere of that weekend.
I would say it was like really not my first game, but like my first game to the next level, I think. Yeah. And I mean, Victor, I played against him a lot of time in France. So when I saw him, I was like, for sure, he's really good right now. He's really good.
He's pretty good.
But like, for me, it was like, I just remember, like, I remember, like, this game before the game, I was, like, just thinking, like, when I was playing him when I was 13 years old, 12 years old. So I was, like, every time, like, almost, like, every 2 weeks, we was playing against each other. So I was just, like, playing, like, it was, like, back in the day, you know, so.
Was that, like, the coolest experience for you guys growing up together and then getting to play on in front of a national audience and a game that was, I mean, I think you guys probably took over basketball Twitter, you know, that night, like Instagram, like social media. I mean, everybody was talking about that game. And I think that when we look back, that's going to be such a huge part of like the G League Ignite's legacy is having that cross promotion game between, you know, so many important prospects. So that must have been a really, really cool experience.
Yeah, because I think it's the first time like they do a game like this against an overseas team and against a G League team. And it's really nice. And it showed that overseas people can really play too. And G League people can play too. Like, because like in the overseas, like about the G League, they think like nobody play G League. Like, just is a thing about NBA, just this. Mm. But I think in NBA, like the same or G League, they don't think about overseas, but like it's on Euro League, for example. Like.
Right.
So it was good to shows like what the both country like what both continents can do. So yeah,
that was a really cool week for the basketball world. All right, so the last thing I want to have you do on this show, we usually do the segment where we do this thing called Sell Me This Pen, and we do a little like 1 minute pitch on the prospect. So I want you to do a Sell Me This Pen on Sidy Sissoko. Tell if I was, you know, an NBA team, sell me on Sidy Sissoko and why should a team, you know, take you next year?
All right. Sidy Sissoko is a French guy that the last 4 years he won in Spain alone and just playing basketball like for his family, I think, for his money and make proud of family. He's a really nice guy, funny guy too. And just like the basketball. And just have fun every time we play basketball and I want to make my family proud what I can do and give everything in the courts and outside the courts too for my family.
Awesome. Sidy, thank you so much for sitting down, chopping it up, going through film. I think that, you know, if people weren't familiar with your game before, they definitely are now. And good luck in Utah with the next up game and good luck the rest of the way in your G League season and you know, next year when you make it to the league. I appreciate you doing this.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. It was really fun. Thank you.